1, and as you're looking that up in your Bible, I just again want to say Happy New Year to everyone and welcome, and especially to if you are new to our church. Maybe this is your first Sunday, or you've just been recently coming in the last few months. The last few weeks, we've kind of given our ministries and our ministry leaders a bit of a break over Christmas because they work really hard. They're very diligent in all that they do. Well, this week, our ministries are coming back to the fore, and I just want to mention, if you're looking for ways that you can connect, last Sunday morning, wasn't that awesome last Sunday? I have to be honest, I was kind of overwhelmed as people just kept coming in and coming in and coming in and filling the place so that we didn't even have room to put up another table. It was absolutely awesome, and to hear people connecting with one another. Well, we have other ways that you can connect. And a couple of those ways begins, first of all, tomorrow morning, ladies, at 10:30. I believe it's 10:30. 10:30, ladies. Bible study group meets in this room. And Shirley, do you have a study that you've got to start? What are you going to be doing? Whoa, why are some prayers not answered? That's a good one, especially for this season. Excellent. Then tomorrow night, men, every other Monday night, we gather at the McDonald's at Mount Newton at 6:30. And tomorrow night, it's an informal time of gathering. We just share what God's been speaking to us about and what he's been doing. Then on Tuesday night, ladies, again, for those who may not be able to make Monday morning on Tuesday nights, Catherine, what's happening Tuesday nights with the ladies' Bible study? 7:00. Awesome. So 7 o'clock, ladies, Tuesday night, James, and then Wednesday morning at 10:30, we'll be meeting downstairs, men, in the lounge, for, again, an informal gathering together, but more focused on the Word. And we look forward to you being there. And, of course, Wednesday night will be Engage Youth for all the students here. And where's Pastor Sue? Is she here? I did see her here. Did she get raptured? Sue, anything that the students need to know about Wednesday? Come. Okay, so here, as in here? Downstairs, okay, so students, 7 o'clock Wednesday night, and it's going to be a great time. Now, this whole month, for the next 21 days, so glad we've heard the two exhortations on prayer. The next 21 days is 21 days of prayer, and we are inviting you to join us from Monday to Thursday, from 9 till about 2, or for however long you can stay. And you can just pray in this auditorium or in the prayer room, and just come and pray. Thursday nights, we invite you to our congregational prayer meeting, and it's always an exciting time. And we have other opportunities for prayer that we'll be sharing with you in the days to come. So that's what I have to say. And so, with that, you got your Bibles open? Joshua chapter 1. Okay, we're going to be getting into that. Well, in fact, let's read it together. Let's stand together as we read from this passage. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness to the south, to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the left or to the right. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. And verse 9 is the verse that I felt the Lord giving me for our church for this year. This is my command. Not a suggestion, not an option, a command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Amen. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise God. Amen. Lord, God bless your word to our hearts today. I ask, open our ears to hear your word, our eyes to see the way you would have us to go, our hearts to receive all that you have, and our feet to be ready to respond to your call. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right. Well, every year, since Sue and I were married, we go on a very special New Year's Eve date. Sometimes it's New Year's Day, but we try to make it New Year's Eve. And each date that we have, we ask one another two questions. Number one, what we enjoyed last year and what we would rather put in a box and send it to another planet not to ever talk about again. And of course, the second question is, what resolutions are we making? And Sue asked me, Ralph, what resolution are you making? And so I thought I'd be funny by responding, I'm not making any resolution, therefore I know I'm going to keep it. Now most of us make resolutions, don't we? Or we try to, or we at least we say we do. One young boy asked his father what his New Year's resolution was, and his father said he was going to do everything possible in the new year to make his mother very happy. The boy asked his mother what hers was, and she said to do everything possible to make sure your father keeps his resolution. In 2024, people were asked what their New Year's resolutions would be. And when all the results came in, the survey said the top five resolutions by Canadians were, and in order, 48% resolved to exercise more, 38% resolved to improve their finances, 36% resolved to improve their mental health, 34% resolved to lose weight. Yeah. 32% resolve to eat healthier, which is supposed to help you lose weight. Now, if you're convinced that you have the willpower to fulfill your 2025 resolutions, I've got some sobering news for you. 23% will keep the resolutions for 3 months. 22% will keep their resolutions for 2 months. 13% will keep their resolutions for 4 months. 9% will keep them for 5. And 8% will keep them for 1 month. This year, online and on TV, you're going to be seeing ads ad nauseum for getting a gym membership. I've already been getting several emails from my gym reminding me to renew my membership for this year. Each and every year, we enter into this year with one of two feelings: with exhilaration or hope that something new is going to happen, that God's going to do something, that I'm going to do something. And we're excited and filled with hope that, yes, this is going to happen. Or there may be some sitting here today and you're looking at this year with trepidation. You're fearing that maybe after last year, can this year get any worse? Or maybe there's a change that you're facing. Maybe it's graduation for all our students, any of our students, and you're asking, God, what do I do now? Or maybe it's that course load that you're wondering, well, it's not what I expected. And you're wondering, can I really do it? There's changes coming for many of us. So how do we do it? How do we go through this new year and not become discouraged because of the fear of failure? Did you know that the number one reason people give up on their resolutions, the number one reason people fail to move forward in their goals that they set for themselves, it's simply one word, discouragement. In fact, discouragement is the one tool that Satan uses that's the most effective in stopping Christians from moving forward in God's purposes for their lives. Well, listen, I've got news for you. Jesus has called us to victory. He's called us to a walk of victorious faith and courage. He doesn't want us to give up. He has a plan and a purpose for you. Students, he's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. Every grandma and grandpa, I want you to know that your purpose and plan did not end when you turned a certain year and you began to get that wonderful paycheck once a month from Ottawa. Oh yeah, you got it, yeah. I still have my application sitting on my desk from last year. God is calling us to a walk of courage in his victory. God doesn't want you to give up. He has a plan and a purpose for you. You may not see it now, and this past year may be blinding you to any possibility of success. But God, as God encouraged Israel, as God commanded Joshua, he reminds us, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. 2025 is barely a week old, but this promise rings so true today. None of us know what this year is going to happen. Yeah, we're probably going to go into an election at some point, and that in itself is going to cause some of our blood pressures to rise. What changes are going to happen in Canada, in the world, in our families, at school, in our jobs? We cannot predict those, but we can lay hold of God's word. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for your family. He has a plan for your job, for your business, and he has a plan for Highway Christian Fellowship. And God's plan for us is that we would move forward in future into the future filled with hope, victory, and courageous faith, not to allow the enemy to take away the hope and purpose God has given us, but moving forward into God's best for us. So how do we do that? The key to the victorious life is to choose. God calls Joshua to choose. In commanding him to move forward, he is to choose a certain lifestyle. And we are to choose four things: to put the past behind, submit to his purpose, stand on his promise, and rest in his presence. So let's take a look at each of these individually today. Number one, God is calling you to put your past behind. Joshua's commission begins with these somber words. Moses, my servant, is dead. For over 40 years, the people of Israel had been led by Moses out of Egyptian bondage and then through 40 years of wilderness wandering. And during this period, there were wonderful memories. There was the daily provision of God's blessing and manna. There was almost daily victory over the enemies of Israel. It was in the wilderness years that God gave to Moses the law that was to set their course for their new life. God's unmistakable presence and leading was with them via the pillar of fire at night and a cloud during the day. It was 40 years of blessing, testimony, victory, and provision. But it was also 40 years of judgment, wandering, and death. An entire generation died in the wilderness because of their unbelief and faithlessness. Every one of that first generation, except Joshua and Caleb, were able to enter the promised land. All died except Joshua and Caleb. Now Joshua has to fill Moses' shoes. It must not have been easy for him. Having to fill the shoes of such a great leader like Moses. And it was one thing 40 years previous, he was a young leader. He was Moses' servant. He was a soldier in general. He had the vitality and the energy and the physical strength and the mental acuity to go forward and do battle for God. But now, after 40 years, he's standing on the precipice looking out over the people, the 2 million plus people of Israel. And he's not young anymore. He's 80. And he's looking at a nation of primarily young people. They were all 40, maybe 50 years at the most, and younger. And God was calling him to lead them. I wonder if he asked himself a couple questions. I wonder if on that, as he was sitting on the edge, that he asked himself, I don't know if I can do it. I mean, Moses was such an incredible leader. And yes, while I've been called, I was set apart, I was appointed, I was anointed. Man, I can't do what Moses did. I wonder if he asked himself, I'm 80 years old. I should be on a boat in the Pacific Ocean sailing to Bali. We're not privy to the thoughts that ran through his mind, but God knew them. And God firmly and confidently reminds him, don't be afraid. Move forward, and you will lead these people. 2024 may not have been a year of great blessing or success for you. On the one hand, it may have been a year filled with blessing. But here's the point I think we need to hear. Whether you were blessed or whether you experienced loss, whatever it was, set it aside. Put it behind you. Because God has something new for you. And your age, your station in life, wherever you are, is no respecter. God has a plan. He's got a purpose. Whatever happened last year, whether good or ill, you can put it behind and say with the Apostle Paul, not that I have already obtained all this or already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and striving straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Put the past behind and submit to God's purpose for your life. God says to Joshua, I know what you're thinking, Joshua. You're thinking you may be too old. You're thinking that you don't have what it takes to do this work. But it doesn't stop God. He says, now arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Joshua may have felt inadequate and alone, so God tells him, arise, which means to take decisive action by standing. Then God tells him what his mission is. Go over the Jordan with all these people. God makes it clear that this is his work. Just as he had used Moses, he will now use Joshua. Listen, this past year had years of challenges and years of blessing. And last Sunday we heard testimony after testimony of God's blessing, even in the face of great loss and challenge. And my friends, God's going to do it again this year. He's going to bring us through. He's got a purpose for us. He's got a purpose for you. He's going to bring you through. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. But arise and go. Submit to his good purposes and seize the promise of God. God always keeps his promise. Look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your feet have tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses. Now, don't miss this. The people had to get up and go into the land in order for it to become theirs. It's fascinating that God says, I have given it to you in verse 3, and in verse 2 we read, I am giving it to you. They have to take territory and possess their possessions. But interestingly, they're told to possess it 20 times. God has given it to you. Get up and take it. Take what God has promised you. To go forward in the call that he has given to you. He has done it 20 or more times. Listen, if God says something once, it's important. If God says it twice, listen up. If he says it 3 times, put down your iPad and iPhone and listen up. Deuteronomy 11:24, God said to Moses, every place in which the sole of your feet treads shall be yours. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great sea, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. God also promises success in the first part of verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. For just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Literally, that word leave refers to abandoning or dropping the ball. God's not going to drop the ball with you. This year is going to be an interesting, challenging year for Canada. I'm not a prophet. And I don't need a special revelation to know, after what we have seen the last few years in Canada, the next year is going to be a challenge. With what's happening in the world as governments are teetering on the brink, with wars continuing to spring up, with our economy on that edge and we don't know what's going to happen. But I've got news for us. I want us to be encouraged today that God is for us, that no man will stand before us. And the enemy may say, you can't do it. You don't have the strength. You don't have the numbers. What if the government chooses to take away our tax-free status and our charitable giving because we promote religion? It's happening. My friends, it doesn't change God's command and commission for us to go into the highways and byways and to continue to preach the word, to feed the sick, to heal the sick, to feed the hungry, to house the homeless. My friend, God's word does not change. His promise does not change. And no politician, no law, nothing that man can do, nothing that the enemy can throw is able to stand against God's promise to us. So has God called you to a difficult task? Maybe God is leading you to witness to a friend or to a family member who's been resistant to the gospel. Or maybe God wants you to lead a Bible study or small group. Are you frightened? Are you nervous? Are you hesitant? Yeah, I get it. God knows that our human emotions can sometimes hold us back. And that is why the Lord, our provider, gives us all the encouragement we need to do his work. Psalm 73, 23, 24 says, I am always with you. You hold me by my hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me to glory. Listen, God's not going to give you an assignment and then just walk away and let you do the work on your own. He provides the resources you need to get the job done. He walks with you every step of the way, guiding you, encouraging you, and he will never abandon you when you allow him to work through you. Put the past behind. Submit to the purpose of God, seize on his promise, and then stand on his precepts. Two different times, God speaks these same words to Joshua. Be bold and courageous. Now, the word strong comes from a word that talks about twisting ropes together. In Ecclesiastes, the writer speaks about three cords are not easily broken. He's calling us to be strong, like that rope that holds that huge cruise ship in place in Victoria Harbor. Nothing will be able to move you. And then he says, be courageous. This means to persist or conquer. In verse 7, God tells Joshua, only be strong and very courageous. The use of only has the idea of the only thing to be done. And the word very means abundantly or exceedingly. This is the only thing you need to concern yourself with. Whatever life throws at you this year, whatever obstacles the enemy puts in your pathway, whatever words of discouragement people want to whisper in your ears to stop you from what you're doing, only be strong. This is the only thing that you have to concern yourselves with, is to be strong in his strength and in his courage. The word for courage is the word encouragement, which literally means to put your heart into. And when God sees our fears, listen, we get afraid. Don't say you don't. And if you do, we'll have a prayer for repentance after. We all do. I remember 9 years ago when God called me to Sydney. On one hand, I was so excited about the opportunity of coming and there not being any snow in January. There was also fear. It would be the farthest I've ever gone. And one of the largest places and opportunities that God's ever given me. And I knew I was following a great pastor. I tell you, I was afraid. Afraid of failure, of disappointing people. And God gave me this word, be strong and courageous. Arise and go. What are you facing this year? Take courage. Fear not. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 reflects this. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overcome you. God says, whatever you're facing, be strong and courageous. God is urging Joshua, and he's calling us to be strong and courageous in the face of an uncertain future, but knowing that whatever happens, God has got it in control, and he's going to be with us through whatever we go through. But we need to do something first. We need to hasten to God's word. He says, be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And then look at verse 8. Be careful to do according to all that is written in it. We can sit here and say, yes, I agree with God's word. My friends, if there is ever a time in Canada's history that the church needs to be into the Word of God, it is in these last days. We need to know the Word like we've never known it before. We need to devour the Word. We need to receive the Word. We need to believe the Word. We need to act upon the Word. Praise God. Thank you. But folk, as someone has said, assent is not sufficient. God is looking for consent. Psalm 119:60, I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Is there anything you've been putting off that you know God is telling you to do right now? Stop right now and confess it. Stick to God's word and you'll be successful. Up until this point, God is directing his servants, but now that things have been written down, we're called not just to read, but to heed his book. As he says in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate on it at night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You want to know how we can get the most out of God's word? Number one, we talk about it. The Bible needs to be on our lips as we freely talk about it, quote it, refer to it. This is so important, especially for all the men here today, all the dads and the granddads, for the moms that are here. The Word of God ought to be flowing from our lips. Deuteronomy 6, 7, God through Moses commanded the people, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. We need to be talking about it in our homes. We need to be talking about it when we're coming together as brothers and sisters. And then as we talk about God's word, let's think about it. To meditate, God says, means to chew on or literally to mutter or dialogue the word with. And you may have heard this, and it's true. The Hebrew word there, it's actually referring to cows that chew the cud. Any farmers here? Any ranchers from Alberta? God bless you. You know exactly what that means. They just don't chew it. They swallow it, and they bring it up again. They chew it more, and again, and again, and again. And that's what we need to be doing, is we need to be chewing on God's word. Psalm chapter 1, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. We talk about it, we think about it, and then we live it out. It needs to move from communication to meditation and then to application. The word must freely flow from our lips, but be evident in our lives. Deuteronomy 30:14, but the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. We're to submit to the purposes of God, seize on his promises, stand on his precepts, and finally, we're to soak in the presence of God. Don't you love the fact that God is always with us? He is. He was with you when you went to bed last night. He was with you when you got up this morning. He's been with you through this whole day, and he will continue to be with you through this day and this week and this month and this year until he comes, and then we'll be forever in his presence. But until that day comes, we must learn what it means to soak, to live in the presence of God. Look at verse 5 again. God says, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Hebrew word reads like this: I will never make you sink. I will never drop you. I was reminded, it reminds me of a story many years ago. We were living in the city of Belleville. We were in between churches at the time. And we were living in a home. It was winter. And I forget where we had been. I think we had been visiting your parents maybe, or maybe it was my mom and dad. But it was late at night. I was tired. We came in, and all three kids, they just kind of walked like this into the house. And I picked up Michael, took Michael out of his car seat, and he was bundled like Fort Knox. He had like three coats and a half dozen sweaters and three snow pants on him. He couldn't move. He didn't need a car seat. He couldn't move. And I remember I was tired. I picked him up. I reached into my pocket to get my car, to get my house keys, and he slipped out of my hands right onto the ground. Luckily, he had like three hats and hoodies on. Guess what? Life is going to get rough. We're going to experience some challenging times this year, personally, as a church, and in our nation. The storm clouds are going to come, the winds will fiercely blow, and there will be times when we think we're going to sink. But I've got news for us. He's never going to leave us. He's with us in the storm, and he's promised to get us to the other side. And what he says, he will do. My friends, do you have the confidence that God knows your name and is with you right now? There are people who are struggling that they can't feel him nearby, but it's at those times we must claim that truth by faith. And as I was meditating on these verses, I saw something that I didn't see right away. And I read this, and it just spoke to me. The presence of God is like two pieces of bread in a sandwich, with strength and courage as the meat, or put in peanut butter and jam, if you wish. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Be strong and courageous. Only be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. If you're struggling this morning, if you're discouraged already in this first week of 2025, I want to remind you to remember you're surrounded by his presence, and God's presence will give you the power to do what he's called you to do. You can have courage because he is your courage. He is your strength. So in summary, as we go into 2025, put the past behind you. Submit to his purposes and seize upon his promise. Stand on the precepts of God and soak in the presence of God. Because the key to the victorious life is submission to his purpose, standing on his promise, and resting in his presence. So you and I are now called to choose. Choose. What will 2025 be for you? I've made my choice. And he calls us to choose the victorious Christian life. Choose to submit, choose to stand, and choose to rest in his promise. Worship team, would you come back? And we're going to stand, we're going to sing another song.